Well, one of the qualifications for running for Congress is you have to be a liar, and the other ones you got to be dumb. And that's why Harry Dunn, running for Congress in Maryland, is perfect. And well, he's just earned the endorsement of none other than former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, of course. Joining me to discuss all things Harry Dunn is Steve Baker. Steve Baker is one of the great journalists over at The Blaze. He joins us as he's heading on the road right now, of course, following more and more great stories, and that's why we love him so much. Steve, thank you for taking a break to join us. We appreciate it.
Brianna, thanks for having me.
I'm really excited for this. So Harry Dunn is running for Congress in Maryland, and he just got the blessing of Speaker, our former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, of course. And well, he's really the perfect candidate because you have to be either a liar and or dumb to run for Congress these days, it seems like, especially as a Democrat. And he seems to have both covered. Now, you've done extensive reporting regarding just Harry Dunn and all the lies he's told with his book, whether he was testifying. I mean, he's told a lot of lies and you've dug into them. So help our audience understand. Give us some of the lies that you've caught on to him, maybe your top three favorite, because there's a long list, and detail those for us, because we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, when you say the top three, that's leaving out the other 300 that he that he covers in his book and trial testimonies, congressional testimonies, and the like. But the bottom line is that when I was covering the Oath Keepers trial back in October, November of 22, he testified on Halloween, October 31st, and there was something wrong with his testimony. I was already queued up on that because he was a real key witness in that trial because four of the Oath Keepers had encountered him inside the Capitol. And when they did, they noticed that he was highly distressed, carrying an automatic rifle. He was responding in a very agitated way to the crowd, and they were worried about him. And so what ended up happening is the four Oath Keepers formed a line of protection with their back to him. He was at the top of a staircase just off of the large rotunda, and they formed a line between him and kept more, hostile, agitated protesters that were shouting, they were shouting at him and taunting him, and they kept them off of him. In fact, a couple of them even used their bodies to keep protesters away from Harry Dunn, not just to protect them or to protect Harry from them, but to protect them from Harry because he was obviously in a high state of stress. And so after they did that, these Oath Keepers drove home thinking that, they were going to get a medal for having defused a very volatile, potentially deadly situation. And instead, we know the story. They ended up getting arrested, charged with seditious conspiracy and the like. So with that background laid, I began the process of trying to figure out who Harry was and what prompted him to change his story from his first FBI interview, where he said that it was, in fact, an agreeable encounter, and that he allowed them to stand the line in front of him, and that it was a favorable testimony originally to the FBI. But they brought him back in a couple of months later for a second interview, and the story flipped 180 degrees out of phase, and he turned it into a contentious encounter with them. And as a result of that was why they had him in the trial, was to bring a inculpatory, as they say, or a negative testimony about his encounter with the Oath Keepers. Well, the video evidence says that that's not correct. But then, of course, a few months later, I got access to the Capitol CCTV, and I began tracking Harry through the day. And then I got access to an early copy of his book that came out last October. And then it just really exploded. And in terms of the top three of his lies, I mean, the first one obviously is his lie about his encounter with the Oath Keepers, because that lie contributed to putting some of those men and women into prison for decades. The second of all of the lies, I would say, I would characterize it in this manner, is that literally everything that he says that he did, particularly his alleged or his his famed heroism of the day. He is the hero of January 6th. He's won a congressional medal. He's been presented a presidential medal. He has been given a book deal, and now he's running for Congress. And the reality is that every single thing that he said he did that day, the video evidence, the Capitol CCTV video evidence proves that to be a lie. And that is highly damning. And I could go down incident after incident after incident of things that he said that he did, encounters that he had, his bravery. It all falls apart because the reality is he spent most of the day hiding from the protesters, rather engaging with them, and rather than, quote unquote, protecting democracy, as he is alleged to have done.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so interesting about all of this, because you detail, I mean, I won't read his book. I'll spare my brain cells. But you've done the hard work of reading his book, and you've walked us through a lot of the lies. I mean, thankfully, we now have access to all of the critical CCTV footage, because that footage reveals a lot of the nonsense that he was spewing in his book. Just simple things, like regarding being in a theater room for early, I guess, like a meeting, like a staffing meeting, and then he wasn't, there was nobody using the theater room, is what you've uncovered through just looking at the footage from the room. And it's like, how can somebody lie this much? And why? Why would he be lying this much? I mean, we could speculate all day, but it's clear that you don't earn the endorsement of Nancy Pelosi in your congressional campaign if you haven't done favors. I mean, that's how this political world works. So, I mean, this is me speculating here. Potentially, it could have been an IOU, but it's not even just that. I mean, the details, you detail this out, and you map it out pretty well for us about how he was claiming to, even at one point, that he was walking around with, I guess, not armed or whatever, and then but he was walking around when he found out his footage at 11 a.m. on camera. He was in his book bag, had his personal bag on him. He wasn't dressed up like how he stated he was, and it just the list just goes on and on. Why do you think he did all these lies? Because it just doesn't make sense, as if he didn't know there was cameras everywhere. Do you think he just didn't think that journalists would get access to the footage? Is that why?
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't think that they ever thought that they would lose control of that video. I don't think, because most of that video, well, capital CCTV video is very, very rarely ever shown to the public. And plus, they probably never believed that the Democrats would lose control of the House as they did in January of last year. And they certainly didn't believe that this video would come out, certainly not from the sensitive areas of the Capitol, that sort of thing. And what happened is, when he first came into the public spotlight, it was the story of his having been, as he alleged, chanted, had the N-word chanted at him by, as he says, 20, 30, as many as 50 people. This is what he says in media appearances, dozens of media appearances. And I think that after he threw that out there, and then he was highly sympathized with by the mainstream media, and he was made a public figure, then the next thing he had to do was create an aura of heroism that was completely made up out of thin air, because he was not a hero. There were Capitol Police officers that were heroes that day. He was not one of them. And as I said, he began the process of creating an entire sequence of events to make him look like, in fact, he was this brave soul that went to battle with the protesters and the rioters and the mob, as they say, the insurrectionists, when in fact he spent most of the day hiding from them, by evidence of the video. More interestingly than that, Brianna, is that for months now, since we first started rolling out our stories about Harry Dunn, I have been challenging the mainstream media, because they have access to the CCTV as well. I've challenged the sedition hunters. I've challenged the Capitol Police themselves to roll out the video evidence of his heroism and the acts of bravery that he details in his book, and nobody has done it yet. In fact, the dozens and dozens and dozens of MSM appearances that he's made, you'll note that not one single time is there ever 1 minute, 1 second of accompanying video of him doing the things that he claimed to do, either in congressional testimony, trial testimonies, or those many statements that he makes in his book.
Yeah. Yeah. No surprise there. I mean, when it comes to, you know, beefing up your resume as a congressional candidate, he's giving George Santos a run for his money for sure. And I think it's also interesting to understand that this man was working with Capitol Police for over 16 years and was, as you've highlighted, was never promoted. And that's really what's interesting here. So he's never promoted beyond the rank of private. And you highlight that in your tweet thread. Again, folks, I recommend you head over to his Twitter page to read everything, because you detail everything for us there. But Steve, you also have a story that you just recently put out as of today, and you're detailing all of the crazies who have come up to you and have gone after you since coming forward as a J6 journalist and putting your work out there. And you know, I know you kind of get a little bit of a weirdo crowd who follows you, but then it also becomes not only just weirdos, but people threatening you. So walk us through what's happened since you've kind of come forward as a J6 journalist and started uncovering all of these lies, because I think it's really interesting and our audience should hear how horrible this is.
Yeah. One of the interesting things and sad aspects of what they call the J6 community is it's a very divided community. Everybody has different agendas. There are in fact grifters within the community. And then of course there are people with different agendas, or unknown and known. And then you have the people that have their conspiracy theories, and then they bring you leads. And I detail this in this article that was published on The Blaze today. Almost a day, not a day goes by that I don't have somebody sending me leads about what they think is the key factor or case or incident that's going to crack January 6th wide open. And most of the time, these are theories they have, they are ideas they have, but what they send me is not based in any facts, and they don't provide any facts. If they provided me something, I'd be more than willing to look at it for them, especially with the access that I have to video and other evidence related to January 6th. But when you don't take their story, then suddenly they go on to X and other social media platforms, and then they accuse you of being part of the controlled opposition and trying to hide their big find from the world, and that I'm obsessing over Capitol Police or other details that are not really the important stories. And that's the kind of thing you deal with when you're dealing with these individuals. But then sometimes it gets worse. Sometimes I've had two different people now who have gotten onto airplanes unannounced and flown across the country to confront me, one time at the courthouse in DC because I had posted that I was going to be there covering a particular trial or sentencing hearing, and somebody showed up to confront me there in the courthouse. Just recently I was in Dallas and somebody got on the plane from Atlanta. This, you know, conspiracy nut got on the plane from Atlanta, flew out there, posted a series of videos on his X account saying that he was going to confront me and Glenn Beck, and that we were controlled opposition and we were part of all these radical subversive groups trying to take down Trump and take down America and hide the truth. And he actually showed up at the Blaze studios, but fortunately our security guard there interdicted that attempt for him to get inside and sent him scurrying away frightened. But the gist of this story, by virtue of the headline, "No Good Deed Goes Unpunished," was an actual story that I took because an actual convicted J6 defendant had called me up and gave me a very believable accounting of his personal actions and activities that day while he was inside the Capitol. And he believed that Capitol CCTV would actually exonerate him, but he had already been convicted and his sentencing hearing was coming up, and he was trying to either convince the judge to give him a retrial or somehow this might help him in his sentencing. And so he was highly believable. I took his story. I took two Blaze video analysts with me to DC, and we spent two whole days there, Brianna, looking through and tracking him, his every action, not just on Capitol CCTV, but also from other open source video. And it turns out the story either he believed he did that day, his own acts of heroism where he was supposedly protecting and helping law enforcement inside the Capitol, either he believed it and his brain was Swiss cheese because of all the other things that were going on around him, or he made up a tale. I don't know. He seemed, as I said, highly believable. But the fact is that the video evidence did not stand up to the truth of his story. And when I gave him the reality, the bad news, and I tried to break it to him as gently as I could, but when I gave him the information that, sorry, but this video does not exonerate you, it is not exculpatory evidence, and then he started the process of attacking me and my attorney online and saying that we were hiding exculpatory evidence that would have exonerated him, and that we threw him under the bus. And in fact, he went so far as to say that myself and my attorney did this to him on purpose to make it easier for me and better for me in my case, which, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. I've had no problem poking the DOJ, FBI bear in the eye for the last 3 years. I'm not worried about my case.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting, right? Getting involved, and just as a journalist, from a journalist angle, I got to say, getting involved, I've met some incredible people part of this J6 community. There are some amazing people who I'll probably be lifelong friends with, I feel like. But then you do get the others who come in, and there's lots of grifters, because sadly, there's so many Americans who are kind enough to donate and kind enough to support them. And there are people out there who are being inappropriate with it. I mean, your name, my name ended up in a tweet. I won't say this person's name because he's a clout chaser, but he put our names in something because I don't know why yours, and you don't have to share, but mine specifically, because he sent me messages from jail. Apparently he's sitting in jail, allegedly sitting in jail, but he's able to somehow DM me directly on Twitter, and he wanted to come on my show to talk about his story, but there's a lot of holes in it. Plus he's somebody accused of violence. And so obviously, as a journalist, the first thing that goes off my head is, how does someone get a cell phone or get access to Twitter in jail? And that's not somebody I want to associate myself with, because that probably means there's something wrong here. So there's a lot of people out there from that went after and attacked me and a group of others for not wanting to speak to him. But we're journalists. It's our job to sit here and to pick which stories we want to cover and pick them based on, do the facts line up here? Because we're not activists. We're just people who are kind-hearted and wanted to go through the stories. And so we can be selective, and we can decide who we want to have on our show, whose stories we want to cover. Because if the facts align, I have no problem covering a story. But when you're somebody who's being misleading, or you're just like telling us something existed when it doesn't, we're not going to cover that. That's not journalism. That's not what you and I do, Steve. And so I'm glad that you toe the line. You tell them, no, we're not going to do it because I don't have the facts to back up your claims. And if they're hurt about it, then tough luck. I don't know what else to tell people. I mean, we try so hard to fight for everyday Americans. Sure. I stay in touch with J6ers through mail and through, you know, emailing them and all these other things to make sure that they're okay. So if a couple of people think that we're bad apples, screw them. I don't care. We do what's best. We hold journalistic ethics, and it's what we could do. It's the best we could do. So, you know, I'm glad you're out there, Steve. I'm glad you're digging through it. Yeah, go.
And we have limited time. There's no way for us to cover every story and cover every defendant and cover every single case and every incident that took place that day. And not only that, it's not the only thing that I do. I know it seems like in the last couple of years I've been a J6 one-note samba, but I still do other things, and I still write other stories about non-J6 related topics. But the point being is that you only have so much time in a day, so much time in a week. And like, for instance, the David Lazarus story, the Capitol Police special agent who was on Nancy Pelosi's security detail, who perjured himself in that Oath Keepers trial as well. It took me a solid year to investigate that, to get all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed, and then to finally bring it to the American public. Some of this takes a lot of time and a lot of work, and we just can't chase every single idea, thought, story, theory that is brought to us.
Yeah, and that's just the reality. It takes a lot of work to put into it, and I know you're doing a lot of great work. You're in D.C., you're watching all the camera footage, you're going through it all. It takes hours, days to do, and so we're so thankful that, Steve, that you are out there doing this, because not many people can, and not many people are willing to do so. And, you know, we see what you're going through, and that's why we try our best to support you, because, well, if you weren't doing great work, the Department of Justice wouldn't be going after you. That's just how things work, sadly, in this regime, so... We'll see, Steve, but keep up the great work. I know you're traveling, so we appreciate you stopping by to talk to us. Thank you for everything you're doing. And guys, folks, head over to The Blaze. That's where all of his content is. You got to head over to read the very latest. Go through all the details of his reporting, too, if you missed out on any of this, because I'm telling you, it is a complete bombshell when he's detailing how the DOJ committed perjury by putting two witnesses on the stand that we now know were lying. So thank you, Steve, for everything you're doing. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products. Taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded. Redemptionshield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.